I'd like to talk today a little bit about baptism. I think everybody here is water baptized, but baptism is a wonderful thing to think about. It isn't just a one-time experience. We live in the resurrection of the Lord. Is that right? I got one amen. That's good. You know, I posted a picture this morning of a small creek that ran down off of Glacier National Park. And if you know what Glacier's water is like, it's like a blue-green. It's just indescribable. It's clear, beautiful. There's not a bit of murkiness in it at all. And it's just pure and clean. And I thought, well, if I were a fish and I jumped out of that water to look around at the world, I'm not sure I'd be happy about it. You know, because the world is like too bright, you know. But he's used to living in that beautiful emerald green water, for lack of a better word. Just so beautiful. And, you know, when we're in the world, the enemy is about describing it to us in all kinds of luxurious ways. So that we can be mesmerized by it. The world has a lot to offer. Yeah, it does. But without the Lord, the world is just black and white. Without the Lord, it loses its interest quickly. If you think about it, people go to the fair to go on a ride, whether it be the Dumbo ride, the Ferris wheel, whatever. I actually got a picture of President Nixon on Dumbo when we were down in Florida one time. I thought that was kind of comical. And when I got home, the camera fell on the floor and all the film was exposed. So I never got it printed. I said, oh, there's something about what God does in our life to refocus our attention. And when we come into baptism, go down into this water, and it's either warm or cold, it doesn't matter. You feel the presence of the water all around you. And you close your eyes and close your mouth so you don't drink it in. And for that period of time, it consumes you. And then you come out of the water and you're dripping wet. And you may give your testimony, you might start speaking in tongues right then and there. As the Lord promised to fill us with His Spirit, didn't He? Is that true or is that make-believe? He promised that. It's a promise to us as new believers. You know, I think I said something the other day that wasn't quite right. That when I was talking about Joseph and how an angel appeared to him in a dream. And wouldn't that be nice if we had dreams like that, right? But you know what? That's not quite true. That the story's true, but what it is in our life is much more than what Joseph or Mary could even have. The Lord doesn't speak to us today with Gabriel's voice. The Lord doesn't speak to us through angels. How does He speak to us? Through the Holy Spirit, right? And every one of us have the Holy Spirit. That's why it's easy for Paul to say, when you come before the Lord in the judgment day, you come before Him, nobody else. Because it's just you, the Holy Spirit, and Him. Wow. What a wonderful thing we have and the freedom that we have in the cross that has cleansed us from all sin. How much sin? All sin. So we come out of the water. I was cold when I came out of the water because it was a pond, even though it was summertime. Water temperature is probably around 60, 65. And it was cold, shivering. Somebody give me a towel and warm up. And we all start singing a song. Didn't really matter, probably I exalt thee. And we sing a song, and then we go back to the prayer meeting where we were going. But things are totally different from then on. You have taken upon yourself the seal of the covenant of the Lord Himself. And it's not something that's taken lightly by the Lord. So let's start in Matthew chapter 3. Can everybody hear me back there, Cheryl? Okay. Okay. And we're going to start Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. That's John the Baptist. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "Oh, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" And Jesus answered to him, "Permit it to be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. Who saw it? Jesus himself. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there was a prophetic word coming straight from the heavens. In other texts, it says that some people thought they heard thunder. Right? When God speaks, it isn't always intelligible to our earthly ears. But to our heavenly ears, it certainly is. And when we worship the Lord this morning, we hear things in the songs that are not just words in English, but the words in the heavenly realm that stir us up to worship him and embrace him. Is that right? We sing, "I exalt thee," but we're not even thinking about the words. We are being embraced by the Holy Spirit, bringing us to the very throne of God, bringing us to a place that's no longer in the death of water baptism, but in the life that we now live being baptized in the Lord. So we are baptized in water, the seal of the covenant. But it isn't just a ceremony. And I'm going to skip ahead all the way to how Paul feels about this. Apostle Paul says in Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin and grace abound?" In other words, we have a new life. Should we continue to live like we did when we were underwater in death? No. There's something new about us. Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? We can't do this. If you try it, it's not going to work out for you. Your life will be a living hell. Verse 3, nor do you not know, as many of us, as we're baptized in Christ Jesus, that we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in the newness of life, the resurrection life. Get up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because we have been baptized. Because we now live in the resurrected life of Christ. We put on his life and put off our own death. You know, the old man may still speak to you. Is that right? But you don't have to listen to him. Romans 8:1, I quoted that already today to Tim. It's like there's now a whole different law in your members. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Because when we're not in Christ, there's condemnation everywhere we go. Think about every time you had a performance appraisal at work. It's not about what you did right. It's almost always about what you do wrong. Even if they say almost little about it, your mind amplifies that. It's there. It wants to grab hold of it. That old nature wants to like, oh. But the new nature says, no, that's not true. It's not true about you anymore. You're living outside of the water of death into a new resurrection life. Well, you know what John was baptizing people for? He was baptizing them in what they called the baptism of repentance. Now, Jesus was baptized by John. even though we had nothing to repent for, to fulfill and be obedient to that process as an example to us, that each one of us, before we're going into the water of baptism, need to repent before the Lord. Repent for what? For all of those things the old man is telling us. For all the things that he wants us to do, the old nature. For all those things that we think about but not do, and still have to die to our flesh. Die to the old man. If you read Romans 8 through it, you'll see what it is to be walking in that kind of intellectual understanding. But it isn't just intellectual, is it? It's real. It's palpable. You can taste it. The kingdom of God is wonderful. But anyway, Jesus was baptized in the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance. But immediately he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. And you know, the Lord said to John, I've said this before, that you'll know him because the Spirit will descend upon him and remain there. So I also take that doctrine all the way to the cross. People sometimes teach that when Jesus was on the cross and he says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, well, the Spirit left him at that point because he was taking upon the evil of the whole world. But according to John, that's not true. Now, even though he didn't feel it, as many of us go through times when we don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, even when we don't feel it, he's still there with us. He's still there protecting us. He's still there protecting us. I love this one. The Lord said to me the other day, whether you believe it or not, you are healed and will be healed, and you'll be strong. Now, one thing I know with GBS, the Guillain-Barré syndrome, is that there are days I can convince myself that I'm mostly okay. And there are other days that I'm not okay at all. Well, if you have a cold, you can take, you know, a pill, go to bed, and you feel better. And you know when you have a cold and when you don't have a cold. With GBS, it's a little different. It's a nerve disease, so your nerves can play tricks on you. Is that right? Everybody knows this. You have to face up to it. Well, living with GBS every day is a new experience for me. And when Owen prayed for me, it was clear that the Lord was going to heal me. Whether I believed him or not, whether I had the faith to believe or not, the Holy Spirit is that powerful in your life. It's not waiting for you. He's still going to go on with his will and purposes for your life. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a place that I don't belong here. And he says, yeah, you do, because I have a word for you to say. I have something that you can share. Amen. You've heard me say this before. My father, when he had a stroke, he only had an attention span of about 20 minutes. I know that because he couldn't listen to a commercial all the way through and understand what was going on. So he didn't have much of an attention span. So he says, why isn't the Lord taking me now? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I think some of you have had that in your heart, maybe even recently. And I said to him, well, there were times when you sat down with me, Dad, now I'm sitting down with you. Hear my counsel. You're not God. The Lord isn't taking you because there's things you can still do even from this nursing home bed. And his reply was, what? I said, well, you still have a quick wit. You always have a way to make people smile. And that nurse that changes you every morning, you're going to make her smile. I'm sure he did. I watched it happen. So we encourage each other. And this new life, after we have been wet with the waters of baptism, after it comes down and it fills us with the Holy Spirit, we begin to pray a different way, don't we? We pray according to the will of God. We pray with the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. And so many of us, and some who are never speaking in tongues, all of a sudden are expressing other gifts of the Spirit in prayer. A word of faith That's way beyond prayer. They may have heard a lot of prayers in the church that they went to and all around them, but suddenly it's coming from their mouth. And the gift of the Spirit is filling them, and they feel it. They feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Ugh. He is so good to us, the presence of the Lord. More than anything else, I want the presence of the Lord. Not necessarily to feel it, but I want to know that he's there, because we walk by faith, not by feelings. But regardless of that statement, he will show up. And when he does, and he's allow us to feel the presence of the Lord. And believe me, if he allowed us to feel in a full sense of his presence, I'm not sure many of us would stand. I know I would have a trouble standing. Anyway, Mark, in chapter 1, the next, let's see. Yeah, so this is in the next chapter. So then Jesus was led. Now, when was he led by the Spirit? Right after he was baptized, right after the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Right then, he didn't waste any time. He didn't go back to Galilee or Jerusalem or nothing. Right then, says Jesus, was led by the Spirit, not by the enemy, not by happenstance, not by random circumstance, but by the Spirit into the wilderness, into a place where there was no provision. That's what wilderness means. A desert where there's no water. Why? To be tempted by the devil. To prove how powerful the Holy Spirit was within him. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, something I doubt many of us would be able to do. And then he became hungry. Now, in actual fact, that's a miracle in itself. When you fast that long, you lose all your appetite and you have no desire to eat. So the fact that Jesus became hungry was a miracle in itself. And then it says the tempter came. And he came to him in that place, this place of maximum weakness in the flesh. Okay? Just let's put the chocolate cake in front of you and tell your 5-year-old self, don't eat this, I'll be right back. You know, they did a test in Psych 101, they tell us about that. They did a test on poor 5-year-olds to see how many could resist. None. Didn't matter how they were brought up. Didn't matter how many times they were told. Once the parent is gone, there's no supervision, and the cake is still there, the cake soon will be gone. Or at least tasted. Well, when the tempter came to him, he said this. What was his first thing? He deals with what you need. Your car broke down, you need a car, you need gas, you need whatever. So if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Oh, they kind of look like bread. Wouldn't take much. I've done this before. I can do it again. I turn the water into wine. You know, so the temptation was real. But it wasn't about the temptation. It was about what? It was about his conversation with the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus answered and said, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the words of the mouth of God are what you and me are feeding on a daily basis. And when we are raised from the waters of baptism, baptized in the Spirit, we are to be having a conversation with the Lord God, our Father in heaven, and his words will feed us. Not just reading Scripture, not just memorizing Scripture, but letting those words feed us. It should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which means you have to have some discernment to know what that is. God doesn't want you to have zero discernment and just take it in. Even if you think it's coming from God, you should be judging it. You should be seeing if it's accurate to the Word of God. You should be seeing and testing it and sharing with your brothers and sisters. Do you think this is God? And as you grow older and more mature in the Lord, you will know things in the Spirit without even asking. They'll just be, wow, that was definitely God. But almost always he'll come back to confirm it. Is that right? Yeah, that is true. Number two, so got to have a conversation with God. Number two, the devil took him to into the holy city, which is Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, so right there. I don't know if he'd ever been there before, but he is there now. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, you shall give his angels charge over you, lest their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So that's kind of what some of the churches are going for in this day and this hour. They're saying, you know, if you really believe in God, if you really are who you are, tell this hurricane to go left or right, and it won't bother you. Tell this car that it'll never skid on the wet pavement ever again. Take the supernatural things that you have in God and apply them to the natural without the word of God and see how it is given to you. Jesus says to him, oh, I have a conversation with the Lord. And you know what? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And that phrase is used in the context that you're going to see if God can really do it. That's tempting God. Because God can do it. He could have delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He didn't. He delivered them in the fiery furnace. He will deliver you in the hurricane. Number three, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, no longer on a temple built with the hands of men. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So this is a pretty good place to be, I would think. Maybe it was the leader of the free world. A lot of men have been in that place. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. So you don't have to worry about God anymore. You have to worship me. So there's exposure of the evil of the world and Satan himself, with the pride that Satan has to be more than what God is. And there's a pride there. So you can say, yes, I'm going to be ruler of the world. Excuse me, but I run the world now. I have things to do. Just recently, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, said those very words. He said, oh, by the way, I have to run the world. Sadly, he is gravely mistaken. And his good Catholic upbringing should have told him that. And the enemy says, if you just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. And Jesus said, oh, away with you, Satan. I mean, he's not even being tempted by this temptation. He's like furious. Away with you. For it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. How do you worship the Lord? You worship him in praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a good part of that. That's how you start to worship. It's with thanksgiving. And it says, but you shall only shall you serve him. So you look to find out and understand his will. Not just to find it out only, but to understand it. The will of God is understandable. It's not called you to be slaves, to just do through obedience, but also to understand what he's trying to do in your life and to those around him. What a wonderful, what an unbelievable thing. Satan never had that ability, even when he was Lucifer himself. Why does the enemy keep getting foiled by the church? It's because he is not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a bulletin which tells him what we're going to do next. He has no idea. So I know what I'll do. I'll take half a fountain of life and put him in COVID trance. It doesn't matter for us because our heart is still with the Lord. And we have Zoom. I was really, even back in 2020, early on, I got an email from a sister in China, right in Wuhan. And she was praising the Lord that they found a way to meet together in Zoom. And she said they had better attendance than ever. And they had better communication than ever. That's hard to believe because I still have trouble with Zoom. But she was not going to take no for an answer. She was pressing in to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? We have brothers and sisters in China. We have brothers and sisters in Iran. We have brothers and sisters in Russia. Believe me, I know. I've been there. I've been in St. Petersburg. Some of them are just really wonderful. They don't get why we're enemies. And I know that RFK just said recently, why are we killing all of our children in Ukraine? Well, what is it that we want to kill our children? What is the stupidity? And Trump said, on day one, that's going to stop. I pray so. I pray for the will of God in the Middle East, and I am the least of being able to bring wisdom into that situation. But I know one thing. You don't come against Israel without coming against God. So my prayer is for Israel, for her protection. You bring the Jewish people under the umbrella of the cross once and for all. They would go into the waters of baptism, and they would see a new world that they had never seen before. They've been underwater too long. They need to come out. Verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, just like his father, when he heard that Herod was out after people, he changed his course of direction. He took Mary and Jesus and they went out to Nazareth. You know, let's forget this. He departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by that prophet Isaiah, saying, in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Oh, the Lord had it in his heart all along to speak to you and me this morning. All along, he had it in his heart to bring the Holy Spirit here this morning in worship and praise. He never wavered from that hope. And it says here, this is the whole context. The people who sat in darkness, that's the people he was going to. Those who had no hope underwater. They didn't even know what it would be like outside of the water. They wouldn't have an idea what it would be like to be baptized in the Spirit. Well, they're going to see a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, a place where we see today, the world sits in the shadow of death, killing our children even before they're born. How absolutely hideous. Europe came out with a statement the other day. We should have more immigrants. Why? Because they've been killing their children for years. They don't have enough people working for them. If they hadn't killed their children, they would have them. How stupid. How utterly unbaptized. Unable to see this very obvious thing they teach you in biology 101. You know, if a species doesn't have children, it ceases to exist. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death. That place, the light has dawned. A new hope has arisen, and it's not in a candidate. It's not in a party as much as I would like it to be. It would be too easy. The hope is the resurrection power that's in the kingdom of God, which is in your heart, you and me. And we're not going to back away from that, ever. It may not be in Fountain of Life 10 years from now, but the hope that we put there, I pray, will still be there and rule and reign in your heart. Amen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, and listen to this, he says the same thing that John says, only there's a slight difference. He says, repent. And John said the same thing, repent. And John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, it's at hand. You can now grasp it. It's yours. John could never say that. As an Old Testament and a New Testament prophet, he didn't have the ability. But now, people who are baptized into John's baptism were rebaptized into Jesus' baptism right then and there. I think baptism is a sacrament, certainly. It's there for us to remember. So after you've been baptized, the enemy can come to you and say, you're not really a follower of Christ. You gave your heart to the Lord, but what do you really know about the heart of the Lord in your heart anyway? You don't know anything. But when you're baptized, oh no, I remember I got wet. Oh no, I remember the Spirit coming into my heart. Oh, I remember speaking in tongues. The manifestation is important, not just the happening, but the manifestation of what God is doing is important. That's so you got wet and you're speaking in tongues or whatever, however the Holy Spirit's want to manifest himself in your life. You're not going to forget it, ever. And when you're in prison and under the shadow and the darkness of death, you can't forget it. So you were never baptized. Oh yeah, I was. It's almost like when they put the numbers on the hands of the Jewish people that were going to go into concentration camps. You can't say you're not a Jew now, or can you? I remember seeing veterans with marks on their hands. I would know because I was drawing their blood every morning. And I was said, so how do you feel? You know, the people that were in prison by the enemy had the most joy than anyone. You know how I know that? Because just look in their face. A smile would come on as they would think about how God delivered them from such evil. And he's about that today. Is that right? Now, even if he doesn't deliver us from all of the evil that's intended for the United States and the place where we live today, even if he doesn't, he will be in the kingdom of God and part of that kingdom, because the government of the kingdom of God is upon his shoulders, not yours, mine, Republican or Democrat or independent. It matters not. It's upon his shoulders. And so we can leave politics behind, sort of, by the will of God, and say, no, I really am and support the platform of life and the choice for life, pro-life. I support that platform, not the party necessarily. If the party wants to join me, praise the Lord. I support the platform that we are male and female. He created us. And by the way, he said that wasn't just good, that was very good. There's only one thing that Jesus, the Creator, said was not good, and that was for Adam to be alone. And so even if you're not married, and maybe even divorced, it matters not. If you're in a body of Christ, you're not alone. That's why God gave us the church. Not the church with pews that we can't talk to one another, but church and home group where we can come and share our lives together. It says in Revelations that they came together and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even until death. That's a dedication But part of that whole process is the word of their testimony. And where does that happen? It happens when we get together. And it says about the church in Antioch that they met house to house. That was when they first called them Christians. And that's who we identify ourselves with, that kind of church, one that likes to share. And even though there's some days, I know you guys don't feel this way. I hope you don't. There's some days when I really think I don't really like people that much. Anybody want to confess? You know, whatever it was that somebody said to you. So, you know what, I don't really, Lord, I'm having problems here. That person turned me off, or why can't they grow up faster? Or why can't they be more like me, heaven forbid? But he is causing us, ready for this? He's causing us to fall in love with each other. We're not just to have fellowship, but he's causing us to fall in love with each other. You know how I know that? When I look at your face. When I greet you in the hallway. Many of us will walk by and just touch. That's all it takes. I was talking with Owen the other day in the hallway, and people were coming by and just touched. Didn't have time to interrupt our conversation or anything, but there was a touch. There was a love relationship that God is doing in our hearts, not just in obedience. Not just in obedience, but in our hearts. So, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to go before us this morning. That which is strange to us, this new life, it is strange to the old man. It makes no sense to him or to her. Our old man, our old nature, wants to do its own thing. But, Lord, we lay down our old nature, our own life, and we put it to death that we might live in the newness of life that you provided through the cross, through the waters of baptism, and through, most importantly, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to prophesy and pray at the same time. What a wonderful thing it is to worship the Lord with the songs that you have given to us and prophesy in those words our love and adoration to you. Lord, we do not back away. We will not worship golden idols or things. We just won't do it. There's nothing there for us. There isn't anything there for us. And we don't have to learn by going there. We learn because what you have given to us is so wonderful. It isn't just good. It's beyond good. It's wonderful. And I pray, Lord, today that you'd renew the baptisms, especially in the Holy Spirit in our heart, that if many who haven't maybe shared a gift of the Spirit in a while, that they would open up their hearts to do that. And it doesn't have to be in a public address, but when we pray for one another. And I ask you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.